Met a girl downtown at the bar last night and we got talking. Said she likes cheap drinks and tattoos and Morgan Wallen. She said, what about you? I said, I like late night bonfires, Yellowstone, Whiskey Myers, and
all right, folks, welcome back. We're keeping in the realm of teaching people how to fucking thrive in their own lives. The last one was real estate, and this one we're going into the bush with the Rob Swain, the founder of the Primal Hunting Company. Company created what this year, buddy?
Yeah, it was actually created September of last year after my wife's event. That's kind of when I decided that, you know what, it's time for me to pull the trigger and create something that I enjoy and make a living off of it. So here we are today.
That's so cool, buddy. For someone who left policing somewhat knowing the shit show that, I don't know, being surrounded by bad guys is like, I know nothing about being a corrections officer for 13 years with Corrections Canada. So yeah, Rob's a correctional officer. He's been doing that for 13 years across the country. And I think it's so fucking cool that you're doing something different outside of the matrix that so many cops, and I'm guessing corrections is not much different.
Yeah, I hear you. I find nature to kind of get me out of that and find my balance again. So it's really good for me to get out into the bush because, as you know, law enforcement and especially corrections can be a dark atmosphere. So I like to break it up and get out into nature. And I find that is my solitude.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. And the beginning, it was like, got to do a podcast about hunting. And then you've now, you've dived into other things like living in the bush off of like lighters and a couple of pieces of wood and a knife and an axe, right? We'll get more into that, but like you're like surviving in the outdoors for days on end in the freezing cold, building tents out of fucking tarps. And it's really cool to watch, man. Like, you know, in a non-gay way, it fucking turns me on. I think it's so cool. It's awesome, man. I love to see it.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. It's been a journey. Like, you know, but I don't think your viewers know. I grew up in suburbs of Toronto. I grew up in Whitby, Ontario. I was just, you know, a normal kid, played hockey, lacrosse, rugby. Didn't really have any outdoor experience. And I find that that's nice that I got to live that life and live this one, because now I kind of have the contrast and I know which path I really want to follow. And it's now this.
Never go back, eh?
No. It was actually funny. Somebody was asking me the other day if I'd ever move back to Toronto. I said, no, not even if they paid me. No. Just not going to happen.
They could make you in charge of all prisons. But if you had to work in Toronto, you'd be like, nope, I'm going to go to the woods.
I'd quit. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So, you know what? Actually, yeah, before we get into hunting and shit, you were from Whitby, which for, you know, we got listeners across the country and some from the U.S. So it's like basically outside of Toronto. So you went from Toronto-ish to deep into the woods where, like, do you even have cell service out there?
Yeah, we do, but I have to stand in the window right there, and that's the only one that we get it in. Otherwise, it's got to be, FaceTime audio or something like that. So, and we don't have a landline. We have no use for it. So,
I love it. So for those of you who don't know Rob, the Rob, and when you say we, who's your wife, Rob?
My wife, Sarah Swain.
Yeah. So, you know, if you haven't followed Sarah and you're part of this community, I don't know, you're living under a rock or something, but, the Rob and Sarah Swain are a huge part of our lives. The Rob is actually probably one of our biggest ambassadors. Fucking, he represents the logo just fine. I love it. You know, it suits you so good, especially being a guy who's, living in the woods. But, so you and Sarah, you lived out in Ontario near Toronto, Whitby. What the heck happened? Why are you now living probably where we all should live, in Alberta?
Yeah, so Sarah and I actually met in Toronto. She was my boss's boss. So this is when I was trying to get into law enforcement. I was doing all these bullshit security jobs. And one of them was, I was working at Sears arresting shoplifters. So Sarah was actually...
Sears?
Yeah, Sears Canada.
Sears, holy
Yeah.
fuck.
Yeah, we're going back now. I don't even think they exist anymore.
They're gone.
They're gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was my district manager, I believe, for loss prevention. So we met a couple times in the office, and then things kind of sparked up and we started dating. Her boss made me transfer out of her district for
Oh yeah.
HR reasons. Yeah, it was a little bit of a kerfuffle there, but
In
we
chart
figured
reasons.
it out.
Good for
And
you.
yeah.
So at one point you both wanted to get in law enforcement at the same time, I guess. I know I've heard
Yeah,
Sarah talk about
so
that.
yeah, Sarah actually took police foundations. She was, I think, the semester before me. We never met each other. So we ended up meeting later on down the road. And yeah, so we started dating, and I was applying to different agencies. And the first one that popped up with Corrections Canada, they offered me a posting. They said to me, "Would you be willing to go to the Prairie region for just a year?" I said, "Yeah, okay, fine. Like, I'm 24. It's a good opportunity. Let's go see the country. Let's see what it's all about." So, yeah, we made a huge transition. We left Toronto. We were actually in a Scarborough condo by Scarborough Town Center.
Oh,
So, we
yeah.
packed up her 500 square foot box. And Sarah hit the road, and I did my training in Abbotsford, BC for 4 months. So at that point, we ended up we landed in Edmonton. We had a little rental there. We stayed in the rental about 6 months, and then we bought our first home in Fort Saskatchewan. So it was big change, big moves.
Where's Fort Saskatchewan?
Oh, sorry, it's just I'd say it's probably
Obviously,
like,
Saskatchewan.
no, 15 minutes north of Edmonton,
That
Alberta.
just threw me off. I'm like, what the fuck? Wait a second here. My geography's fucked.
Yeah, it's actually one of the first postings for the Northwest Mounted Police, which turned into the RCMP down the road. So they have some big military fort there. It's kind of cool, but it's small town, right? Like, I think when we moved there, it was like 12,000 people. And then by the time we left, it was like 25,000. So you can see the expansion. But yeah, we moved out here. We knew nobody, and we started basically a new life. I started my new job, and I remember as a recruit, we all got pulled into the warden's office for a meet and greet. And she says, "Who are you? Who, which one of you guys are from Ontario?" And like six of us put our hands up. She says, "I have some bad news for you guys." She says, "They told you 1 year, but it's gonna probably be more like five." So yeah, I had to
They
go
knew.
home and break the news to Sarah that this was one probably not just a temporary thing, but that's how it started.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine. I've only ever dropped off guys to the, what would you call it, medium security between like the jails where they go five or less, right? Is that what it is? What is it that you have to be convicted of time-wise to go to Fed?
Yeah, so it's 2 years plus a day. You go federal time, 2 years less a day, it's provincial time.
Okay, yeah. So I've only ever, other than walking in, you got to put your gun in the little box. You bring guys in, you're like, holy fuck, this is a nightmare. And then I leave. That's it. What the
Yeah.
fuck is it like having to babysit these animals?
So right now I'm actually in a medium, which is better, but I'll get into why it's getting worse due to our current government.
Yeah.
But I did start in a max and started at Edmonton Max, and that prison is, I'd say, probably the worst prison in all of Canada. So I was exposed to a lot quickly. So yeah, it was challenging to just dive right into that, but eventually you find your groove. And the amount of incidents that you see and respond to, you just get more and more experience, and you get better and better at your job. So I kind of like the fast and furious approach. I think newer recruits, they should start in a max. I think they should do at least 2 years, and then venture off, right? I don't know what the logistics for that would be, but that's my personal opinion.
Got more energy, you're less jaded. If it's anything like
Well,
policing, right? I don't, who knows, right? Like, is it like the movies where like guys are getting shanked and like each gang has their own area and fucking you can't sit at a table unless you fucking, massage a guy's shoulders or weird shit like that?
yeah, so like our prison was really different. So we had no unit could mix with each other. So each unit was basically segregated amongst themselves, even though they were considered general pop. It's just those gangs don't mix with these guys. So we actually had strict movement procedures within the prison to move different units to either programming or to the gym, or even like something like going to healthcare. We'd have to have armed guys up in a catwalk looking at the courtyard to say it's clear, and then that unit or that individual from that unit moved to their area, and then we clear it, and then it's free for another guy to go in. And there has been mix-ups in the past where they open up two units at the same time, and then they just literally run at each other, and it's game on.
A fucking Royal Rumble, but like
Yeah.
death. That's
Yeah.
fuck.
It can escalate to that quickly. We actually had one situation where a newer officer to the institution, I think they were a transfer, they were told, do not open this one sliding door between the units. And accidentally that button was hit. And then the two units went at each other instantly. And the crazy thing was they were all armed. It was almost like they were ready for it. Like there
It's
was no
fucked.
time to prepare. It was just like that, and then all of a sudden we have three ambulances on property.
Really? Fuck. So they just sneak shit in. You think it's they're really good at, I try to phrase this without saying there's guys, dirty guards bringing shit in, or they just make them like they're fucking taking beds apart and making shanks or shit with their toothbrushes. And this is just based off of movies because this is shit I've never dealt with.
Yeah, like you know what? The inmate is fairly, they're like MacGyver. They can make anything out of nothing. So the reason why we had to increase, like the TVs are like tiny, they're like 13 inches, but we had to charge like $350 for them because guys would get in there and take pieces of metal and then sharpen it and create shanks out of it. Yeah, the toothbrush thing, they ended up melting the plastic. You put a razor blade in there. They can make weapons out of plastic, like whatever you think, like a rock in a sock, batteries in a sock.
Heard that
Like
one.
I've seen it all.
There is the resourceful.
Yeah, I've even seen guys make armored suits out of paper mache. So,
Armored suits. They'd be good on your
yeah.
course. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, they probably do well. But
That
yeah,
is fucked.
some crazy different types of weapons that, you know, that a normal person like you and I would look at and we're like, nah, that's not a weapon, but they can figure it out.
Wow. Did you ever have to fucking guard like the pedo wing where like the guys who, do all the weird pedo shit getting, what do you call that? Where they're segregated.
Well, it's
Well,
well, it'd be called like they'd be like PC, like
yeah, protective
that
custody. That's what it is.
protective custody. But the thing is, PC kind of encompasses everything. Yeah, we did have more of a unit where sex offenders would reside, but they're pretty much everywhere in any PC unit nowadays. So,
Oh
like,
yeah.
as guys that need protection from gangs or guys that have dropped their colors, they go in a PC unit and they just kind of all mingle together. I'd
Really?
say at that max, I'd say 80% of the jail, maybe slightly more, maybe 85% was PC. But even the GP guys couldn't mix, right? So I'd tell them that they're PC as well. They didn't like that too much, but it's a fact. So if
Think
you
they're
guys
pedos.
aren't, yeah, I said if you guys can't mix with those guys, then yeah, you're a PC.
So you just sit in your own room or jail cell and that's it? You're just on your own all the time? Or do the pedos get to mix together?
While I'm working,
Yeah.
or are you talking about the inmates?
Like the inmates. So if you're like I just think pedos should just be fucking executed. So I just always wonder, like, what's it like, you know, for them? They're sitting in their cell. Like, why can't that new guy hit the button for that cell by accident? And then they just go kill him again. That's just my own fantasy,
Yeah,
right?
well, that's more like SAG. So on the units, they would actually have free movement. So there would be like rec times, or we call it rec on the range. They'd come out and play cards. There was gym, but normally between 8 and 4, it was work. So if you didn't work, you stayed in your cell, kind of deal. In SAG, you're more or less, well, we used to call it SAG. Now they call it a structured intervention unit, which is no longer segregation. But those guys would probably stay in their cell for about 22 hours a day. They'd get an hour rec, and then they'd get like an hour to make phone calls and have a shower at the end of the night. So there, it was far more restrictive movement. And I predominantly worked in SEG. So,
Okay.
yeah.
Fuck. When you look at some of these evil fucks, do you ever find like there's just nothing there? Like some of these guys you can't rehabilitate. They're just so far gone and evil and, you know, insert a word.
Yeah, 100%. Some
Yeah.
guys
Hey.
look in the eyes and they're just black.
Really? And then do you ever see somewhere you're like, man, I can tell you regret whatever you did, you know, like, you know, if they've grown up or maybe they fucking killed someone and they're like 18 or 19. And at that point, most dudes are still immature and stupid anyways. Right. But I'm sure there's got to be some guys with regret, you know?
Yeah, like you can tell the guys that have remorse for some of the crimes they've done, and you actually will see if a few take accountability for their actions. Those guys you'll see be a little more successful. They're able to cascade down the system. I've seen them even get to minimum, right? So like the institution I'm at now, I'd say 40% of those guys I had in a max. So they all recognize me, they all know me. There's a bit of a rapport there, but you can kind of see how they're working their way down into minimum, and they have changed their ways a little bit. I find
That's
as
good.
they get older, they get a little wiser. When they're younger, they're just full of piss and vinegar, and they have something to prove, right? And it's hard time for them. So they figure out, you know what? I got to live here. These guys have to work here. Let's just be respectful. And it's a better environment when they get to that point. But a lot of guys got to learn that.
Hard way.
Yeah.
So you said the current, I don't know how you phrased it, the way the government is today and how lenient they are. So does that mean like the jails are filling up more, or guys are just not ending up there because no one goes to jail anymore?
Well, no, we're full. We're very full. The issue is stemming now where they're starting to underwrite security classifications. So just say you're a maximum security inmate, but the medium has programs for your correctional program. They will underwrite you to medium to send you to a medium institution to do these programs. And the problem is now, our mediums are starting to become a little more dangerous, more like a max, right? So since I actually started there right in the middle of all the nonsense, but since 2020 to now, I can see a huge increase in violence in the institutions, to the point where like we've even had air ambulances show up to the medium now. So that system's not working. And they also abolished segregation because they deemed it unconstitutional. So that's also causing more issues with the population, especially for the guys that they need to get out of population because A, they have too much debts, somebody's got a hit on them, all these different things. And it's very difficult for us to transfer them into the structured intervention unit. You have a long criteria, and almost everybody doesn't meet it. So there's really nowhere to keep a population safe now. So the violence is just continuing to increase.
So it's like the streets. The jails are just like the streets.
Pretty much, yeah. It's probably worse because
Oh,
the
yeah.
consequences are far less, right?
Yeah. So once you're already in there, if you're, you know, I'm guessing, so max, I'm guessing it's murderers, rapists, guys who do like carjackings, robberies. There's probably other shit too,
Well,
obviously.
Yeah, the murderers, yeah, there is a stipulation that if you do murder somebody, you have to do 2 years in a max. So that's hands down what it is. It also depends on your criminal history and your level of violence as well. So just say you're in the remand awaiting sentencing and there was a bunch of incidents you're involved in, fights or stabbings, your security level score will go higher. And then when they pen place you, which we call it when they come from the provincial system to the federal, it's called pen placement. And then they'll look at your scores and then dictate which institution you'll go to.
Do you find there's a level of cockiness with guys in prison now, knowing who our leader is of the country? And I mean, case in point, would they even care or be aware of when they dropped the mandatory minimums for gun crimes or well, violent crimes with guns?
I haven't really heard any of them talking about it.
No.
They're more cocky now because the level of enforcement that we can have on them in the institutions is far less. Like it's mostly just monetary stuff. Very little violence ends up turning into a criminal charge. So it's mostly just institutional charges. So I think they laugh more at that. And
There's no
saying,
one in there that. Sorry, go ahead, buddy.
yeah, saying that, like a lot of guys that are already in the federal system are doing long periods of time anyway.
They
Like, I
don't give a
think the
fuck.
average is 5 to 8, but a large portion are also indeterminate sentences, which are life sentences.
Yeah, so someone who's doing 10, if they assault someone or fucking whatever, even aggravated, what are they going to do another year? They probably don't even give a fuck.
I very rarely see the RCMP come in and criminally charge somebody after an assault. If serious bodily injury has been determined, they may lay a charge, but even that is rare, right? It's difficult. Like a prison is difficult. Like you go into a cell, there's no cameras. You have eight guys go into a cell, and then they all walk out together. It's like, well, who did it?
Yeah.
Really?
Good
You take
luck with
that
that
to
interview.
court. They'll just throw it out, 100%.
100%. I could just imagine trying to interview one fucking person with the amount of rules and
They're not going to
stipulations.
talk. Yeah,
No,
they're not going to
fuck no.
talk.
No, forget it. Yeah, what am I talking about?
Yeah,
Yeah.
so it's difficult in that sense. Like you try to get different camera angles, but they also have a certain level of privacy. Like we can't put cameras in their cells unless they're under some sort of observation, just say they have a package
Suicide.
inside of them or suicidal, right? That's pretty
Yeah.
much the only way that we can have them on recording. So, it's difficult to find out. You can find pieces here and there. Some inmates will talk to you, but for the most part, if it's an organized thing, just say, yeah, I don't know. We just went in there. We were having coffee. I don't know what happened to him. He must have fallen off his bunk.
Yeah, for sure. Fuck.
Yeah.
So in my career, there's a few dirty cops, not many. It's not as many as people think. It's like fucking 1 in 10,000, probably more actually. But there was one who he was actually convicted. He was gonna do an armed robbery with an actual service rifle on drug bangers.
Wow.
Yeah, he got taken down. It was fucking pretty wild. Any wild shit like that ever happened in your career? Have you heard of where a guard gets taken out for being on the wrong side?
Yeah, in my personal experience, I've never seen it myself. I've heard stories of other institutions where, a guy was bringing in drugs or something like that. It's usually something fairly small.
Yeah.
Also heard of gangs trying to get somebody in their community who is completely clean hired and then get into the system that way as well to,
Really?
bring stuff in. But the introduction of contraband through people is pretty much almost gone now. They're using drones. So,
Drones.
yep, they buy a drone at, I don't know, Walmart, Canadian Tire. They put a bunch of drugs in a package, they tape it up, and they just fly it over the jail and drop
Like a fucking
it. Yeah, it's like an
wow.
airdrop. Yeah.
Yeah. Holy. Well,
Yeah.
you know what, man? It's like you said, they're resourceful. They could like if these guys could put their mind to inventing something cool, like and not shooting each other, fucking be amazing.
Yeah. Well, like the
What?
higher ups in most of these criminal organizations, they're smart people. They know what they're doing. And that's also the reason why they're not in prison, right? They have all their
Entrepreneurs.
documents. Yeah, they're entrepreneurs that don't pay taxes.
Man, it's actually, well, I got my mind thinking. Fucking carbon tax. Fuck you, Trudeau. Fuck that
It's
guy.
ridiculous.
It's so
But
fucked.
the drones, they're just wild now. We have detectors, but they don't always work. And when a package gets dropped, just say during rec, we could have 550 inmates out. So they just grab the package, they all huddle up, everybody gets something, and then they just scatter,
So
gone.
even if you saw it, you're not, if there's 500 dudes in a on the grounds, so like, are the guards going out there anyways? Like, you're like, fuck it, just let them smoke the weed or do the crack or heroin, whatever they're doing.
Well, we are going after them. We try to isolate, contain, control the situation as quickly as possible, and then pat downs, and then if we have grounds to strip searching. But it's difficult, right? By the time we get notification and get assets on the ground, it's probably too late. That's the thing. It happens so fast, and we're directly beside a major highway, which doesn't help. Truck pulls over the side of the highway. The drone comes out of the bed of the truck, flies to the institution, drops the package off, and they have these things so advanced now, you don't even have to fly them. You just put on a flight path, and it just comes right back to you and lands in your truck, and you peel off you go. Put the tonneau cover
Nice.
back, nobody can see the drone, you're gone. Like, good luck. Like, even for me to call the RCMP, because we have a liaison that we deal with, by the time they get there, it's like 10, 15 minutes, they're gone.
You guys have drug dogs?
Yeah, we do. Yep.
Like on site?
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah,
That's cool.
they're good. They're a good tool to use, and I prefer to use them rather than manual searching now with
Oh,
different type of
fuck.
drugs that we have. It's just dangerous.
Dude, needles, success rate too. Like, I remember when I was training Rooks, my police dog, fucking they find 90, like I won't say close to 100. Well, a dog that's actually doing it, you know, in service didn't miss anything on their quals, right? They're fucking bang on every time. It's that obvious for them, right? But you're right, like strip searching, like there's nothing, if you know, if you're listening and most of you have not strip searched someone, it's the most disgusting thing you can ever, it's fucking gross. Like, it's not, it's just, it's so gross. Like, for them, for you, for everybody, it's like, fuck, man. It's disgusting.
It's a terrible situation.
It's a fucking dirt. That's exactly it. Well said. It's fucked.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, right? But it's necessary, especially in my line of work, right? Like
Oh, especially.
we gotta strip a guy leaving the institution, say he's gotta go to the hospital. We gotta strip him coming back. We gotta look for handcuff keys. We gotta look for an assortment of different things.
Yeah, and the pressure too. I know that, you know, not everyone's perfect. Some solid coppers have missed small things, you know, and then you fucking see a guy doing something in the cells and people are mad. How'd you miss that? It's easy to miss things when these guys are clever as fuck.
Yeah, well, when they do it for a living, right?
Yeah.
It's difficult to detect everything. You can do the best you can, but like even in the clothing, when you search the clothing, they could have secret compartments sewn in. You wouldn't even feel it.
Oh,
So
it's fucking.
they're pretty ingenious that way of concealing stuff. Even in the cheeks of their mouths, they can move their tongue around and move the item. You won't even see it when you inspect. So
Yeah. So, you know what? Let's move on from jail. Fucking depressing. Fuck. I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing now, especially having, like, when I was a cop, I didn't have any until the end, until I fucking had to leave. I didn't have a side hustle or something that I was super passionate in, other than like working out and maybe playing hockey. There wasn't like a avenue where I believe I can see where you're going. You may not have to do that forever. You can actually do cool shit, like teach people how to hunt and teach people how to survive in the woods. So moving on from corrections, in the last, what, 2 years, I've seen you, I've only known you personally for what, maybe 18 months or so, but I've seen you
Yeah.
go from like hunting and now you're doing all this cool shit. And for a guy like me who has only trained in, like, you know, firearms training for tactical stuff, I wouldn't know how to hunt to save my life. if, you know, everything bad happened, which who knows what's going to happen in the near future. Honestly, to be honest, I wouldn't know how to care for my family, which is fucked up to say as a dude, right? In terms of like, you know, providing food and shelter and, you know, like we've got our generator, we've got our guns, but if I have to shoot an animal, I don't fucking know what I'm doing. Right. So like as a hunter, you're an avid hunter, fucking super experienced, super fast, I think. What the fuck am I doing if I want to start hunting?
Well, the first thing you talk about your firearms training. So you have the shooting fundamentals. That's perfect, right? After that, it's just practice. It's trial and error, right? You got to get out in the woods. You got to learn how to track these animals. You got to understand the droppings. You got to look for travel routes, bedding areas. And that's only going to come with being in the bush, right? You have to be out there to experience it. You can read as much as you want, but for me anyway, the act of going out and doing it and seeing the signs and learning the movements and learning the different patterns, that's going to help you be far more successful. But
Prior.
going back to you saying that, like you're concerned that you wouldn't be able to feed your family or something if things got crazy, right? And that's kind of what pushed me back in 2021 when we bought this acreage. We bought this log house in the middle of nowhere.
Sick.
And that's when my mind started to change. That's when I'm like things are getting pretty crazy pretty quickly. There's food shortages being talked about. Like, what am I going to do about this? So I put it to action. I started learning as much as I possibly could, started practicing my marksmanship, and I got out there and I just did it. And that's what you got to do. Like reading about it, yeah, it's going to help you understand fundamentals, but until you get out there and actually pull the trigger on an animal and do everything, that's when you're going to learn all the skills.
All right, so I know we won't divulge the whole new logo that we co-designed, which is sick as fuck, by the way. So let's imagine that whoever's listening to this has already got their gun license, they've got themselves a rifle or a bow, which I don't have yet, which I'd love to get. What do you need? Like, I mean, in Ontario, to go hunting, you got to fucking drive like 4 hours north. I know it's different, you know, even the antlers out here are different, so you taught me, right? But you know, outside of having a gun, we'll imagine that everybody has a rifle at this point, or what they need to go hunting to shoot whatever they're hunting, right? What do you need?
So first, you're going to need a hunter safety. You're going to need that ability to purchase tags legally. Now, if it's like an apocalypse situation, you're just going to go get your meat, right? But to do things lawfully in Canada, each province has their own set of regulations. Ontario is very similar to Alberta. You need your hunter safety. And then once you do that course, you get your certificate and you can start buying tags. Now, for the area I live in, I can have three deer and an elk. And those are just general tags. I can do that every year. So that's the first thing you're going to need. Second thing you're going to need is proper attire, proper clothing. And like you saying, you guys are going to have to drive 4 hours into the bush to go hunting. You're going to need to be able to pack that animal out and get that animal home or to a butcher without spoiling the meat, right? So there's preparation in that as well. I'd say the main things, especially if you're ground hunting, it's your apparel, so your clothing. You want to break your silhouette up. You don't want to have a human silhouette, and you want to cover your face. We have forward-facing eyes, which means we're predators, so animals recognize that. So you want to cover that up as much as possible. And scent. If you don't smell like your environment, they're not going to come near you. So for my clothing, I hang it all out on the barbed wire fence in front of the house. And it stays out there my entire time I'm hunting. I might wash it two or three times. I know it's gross, but even then, I use scent packs in the washing machine to help break up those human enzymes because you don't want any
Okay.
scents. They'll smell you like 200, 300 yards away, depending on windage.
Oh,
So
yeah.
for the
Money
guys
for
that
the trucking.
and the guys that don't see anything, it's probably because they're getting winded and the
They
animals
smell too good, so they're probably from Toronto. I don't know what they're doing. I'm just kidding.
smell like they don't belong in the woods. So animals will pick up on that. So that's another huge factor, and especially with bow hunting, because bow hunting, you want to get within 40 yards of an animal. So that's close.
So bow hunting an animal like that, have you like basically fucking, what's the fucking word? So you're sitting up in a tree, you're staking out in a tree. I'm fucking talking like a cop.
Tree
What's a
stand, yeah.
tree stand? You're in a fucking tree stand. Is it, you wait till the guy comes or the animal walks by it, or are you like walking as slow as you can trying to find it, and then once you see it you fucking just like bed down and hope for the best, or are you basically like tree standing fucking waiting?
You can do both. So tree
Okay.
standing, you're going to want to find a populated travel route, and you're going to want to get kind of right in that 40-yard zone of that. And then I have a range finder. When I bow hunt, I use it all the time just to check distances. So I can use on a bow, you have different pins for different yardages. So it's very important that you know the distance of that animal before you draw. You can also hunt in stock as well. In the early season around September, which is elk mating season, that's a better time to stalk. I'm 235 pounds, so me crunching around the leaves isn't going to be too stealthy. So when the ground is soft and moist in September, that's kind of where I flourish in the stalk and hunt approach. After that, once the leaves have fallen, I'm in a tree stand. It's just odds, right? I don't want to waste my time.
So you said three deer and an elk. Is that per season or per annual year? Or I guess it goes by seasons, right?
So it's typically fall. So in Alberta, September and October are archery. So you have 2 months of archery, and that's the main reason why I took that up. And then November is all rifle.
Okay.
So you have 3 months, and then you can get four tags. And if you get draws, moose in my area right now, I think it's a 7 year wait.
What's that for?
For moose, so you
Okay.
apply for a tag, and then either you win in a lottery or you have to wait for your priority to get to a certain point that you're able to draw that tag. So,
There's less moose, or is it just something where it's, I was done enough of them, or
well,
why is that?
moose, they breed a little differently. They're slower, so that's why they do it, and they don't want to encroach on the habitat as much. If I were to go like far up northern Alberta, I could probably get a tag, no problem. But then I'm now hauling a moose back like 6 hours, and if I can just walk out my front door, it's very difficult for me to travel the hunt now. Like it's just kind of the luxury that I've had.
So
So
good.
yeah, it bothers me to drive somewhere if I don't have to.
I know. I love seeing Sarah post. It's just like you walking into the woods. I'm like, that's so cool. It's like fucking your backyards. It's just like you're hunting fucking paradise.
It's great, and I've established great relationships with the ranchers. So we have lots of pasture lease around us, and I have access to over 1,600 acres of hunting land, and
That's
it's
fucking
just
awesome.
me.
That's amazing. You would have to drive hours to find that. You can't. There's nothing. Well, at least where I am, I'm fucking close to the city, right? It sucks.
Well, it's all demographic, right? Like if you were to move up to Muskoka, you probably have a lot better chances to hunt, but then you're up there too, right? So
And then you're stuck with all the yuppie fucking
I haven't been
super
there in
uber.
years, so I don't know what's happened to Muskoka,
All the lake lesbians, I'm not talking about you. Okay. It's fucking, it's the fucking ones where their boat houses are 14 times the size of my house. Oh, dude, it's crazy. My grandparents had a cottage in Minette, which is just outside of, or just not far from Lake Rosseau. And it was like a cottage where it's fucking a rectangle. You have a heated wood stove. It smells like a cottage. You know, I didn't grow up in this fancy shit.
No, but that's what a cottage should be, in my opinion.
100%. 100%. It's actually a funny story. So for someone like me who's never shot an animal outside of I shall tell you a story. It's sort of funny. It's sort of sad, but sort of funny. So Mazda Miata smokes a fucking deer. This is like 2006. I'm very rookie. Still like 20, probably 22, 21, 22. And I got to put this fucking deer down. And it was like not a baby deer, but baby enough of a fucking deer, right? And everyone's crying, and I'm like, holy fuck, I'm way too pussy to do this. So I grabbed the blanket off of like one of the person's cars that was there, and I cover the fucking deer. And some fucking idiot says, I'm a hunter, shoot it in the heart. I'm like, okay, what the fuck do I know? I'm a fucking dumb young cop. I have no idea, right? So when you're putting a deer down, you're supposed to shoot it in the head or behind the neck or something, right? No, I shoot it in the fucking heart and watch this poor thing fucking suffer. It was the worst fucking thing I ever had to do. It was terrible. So
Oh,
for
yeah.
like, yeah, oh man, like I'm an animal lover, but now I'm to the point now where if I have to provide for my family, I better fucking learn how to do it. Is there like I don't know if this was something for you or if you read like Cam Haines's book, it's not like, you know, you're shooting animals and you're like, yeah, fucking right. Let's fucking kill animals for sport. This is fun, right? It's an emotional thing the way he writes about it. And I don't know what it's like for you. My experience was completely different. It was just putting an animal down, right? Is there something where people like me who want to get into hunting, it's like a mental break you got to get through?
Yeah, it sucks and it still bothers me. Sometimes I well up a little bit when I approach the animal. I always get down on my knees and pet it and thank it and thank nature for providing the food for my family. You have to respect the animal that's given its life to you. So a lot of people think hunters are like, oh, we just want to go out and kill things. But no, they're actually pretty compassionate people that care about animals and the habitat and nature. So, yeah, it's a solemn experience, but I also know that if that deer had to feed its family and it had the means to kill me, it would too. It's just part of the
So true.
cycle.
Yeah, circle of life. It's so true. That's such a fucking good answer. 'Cause yeah, I've never, you know, yeah, fuck, I don't even know that was such a good answer. I almost started to fucking well up. Holy shit. Right? But no, it's something I think a lot of people would have to get past. And you know, like Jen's talked about it, I've talked about it. I'm like, I can absolutely go hunting, but I need to learn how, number one. But I'm at the point now where I'm like, I would have to get past that mental block. And even if, you know, getting an animal in your sights, it's got to be a different feeling, right? I think I could shoot a human, no problem, before an animal, a bad human, obviously.
For the human situation, it's probably an act of aggression that they're either
Yeah.
bestowing on you or your family. So it's an easy decision. One piece of advice when you do have an animal in your sights, if it doesn't feel right, don't pull the trigger.
Good.
You have to be ready and you want to take that life, it sounds weird to say, but as efficiently as possible and with the least amount of pain. So as hunters, we do actually aim for the heart. And we actually will try to disable the heart or we'll try to blow out both lungs. And that will give a fairly merciful death. It's usually over in a couple of seconds. I've seen deer that I've shot drop immediately. I've seen them run like 20, 30 yards before. But that's just pretty much dead running. It's just the nerves. And as a hunter, you're taking these shots and you're actually giving that deer a better death, if that makes sense. If a pack of wolves gets it, they're going to hamstring it and they're going to eat it alive until it passes away. Like, the nature's pretty cruel. So a death by a hunter is probably one of the better ways to go in the animal kingdom.
Do you see that video of the you brought that up about the wolves? It was I don't know if it was a moose or an elk or what the fuck it was, but they had it surrounded for a
Who's in the
matter of hours.
water, right?
Yeah, that
Yeah, I
was
think.
fucked.
Yeah,
But exactly what you just said, like that poor animal, if you know, if someone you could just put it down from 100 yards out, and you know, that animal was probably tortured to death. Awful, awful, sad shit, right?
Nature is pretty wild, man. Like, it's savage out there.
Yeah. No, I like your answer for that, but you know, if someone's, you know, bent or hell bent on hunting and learning how to hunt, it's something you're just gonna have to get over, say a prayer or whatever you got to do to get through it. But you know, this is all about providing. That's where my head's at. And I know that's where your head's at. Off mic, you talked about you had three freezers full of food, right?
Yeah. Like that's the reward of it all. Yeah, an animal had to lose its life, but it could have lost its life this winter to wolves or cougars or coyotes, right? The bears are asleep, but it's possible. The bears are waking up now though, so. But if you're not going to hunt that animal, there's predators out there that will. So
Yeah.
I think it's better in my freezer, in my opinion.
No, for sure. When you go out into the mountains, are you armed all the time?
Yeah, so anytime I leave my house, I have a firearm on me.
Yeah,
Every
just
time.
for whatever, right? You've seen those videos of, I think it was in like fucking Japan or something, or I like the dude was at least fucking Japanese or something, where the bear comes flying by him and he actually like fucking kicks it away down the fucking cliff of the mountain.
Oh,
I've seen it a
wow.
few. Oh yeah, it gets attacked by a fucking bear.
Yeah. And that's the thing with, so I just bought a new gun. It's my bush gun. I bought a
Yeah.
45-70 lever action. Now it's a
Oof.
large caliber. It will put a grizzly bear down in one shot.
No.
So yeah, I'm using 405 grain rounds. So they're quite beefy. But the thing is, when you're walking through thick bush, you could have a sow, a grizzly sow with two cubs just lying right in there, and then you spook each other and it's fear aggression. So she charges you immediately because she thinks that you're going to go after her cubs. So I'd rather have it. I carry bear spray as well. The rifle is a good backup, but if I can utilize the bear spray, just say a grizzly gets really close to me, he's kind of curious and kind of pops my comfort zone, I'll give him a little blast of OC, and if things escalate, then I can transition to my rifle. But I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Was it judged by 6th and carried by 12? Right.
Yeah,
That's just, that's
yeah.
more of a police thing. But
Yeah, but I want to come home right at the end of the day. So
fucking right you do.
I don't
Right.
bring it out there in hopes or anticipation to kill something, but it's there if I need it. It's just a
Yeah.
tool. And that's kind of the disconnect people have with firearms. And the whole ban situation bothers me because this is the way of life for me. So like you wouldn't be a contractor and show up to a housing build without your tools, right? I'm not going to go into the woods without mine. It's just that's how you have to look at it. It's a tool.
I'm glad your brother, how, like, as a hunter who owns guns, how do the fuck, like, I know what you said it bothers you, but how does that make you feel? Like, when Trudeau goes on his stupid fucking rants, clueless rants, like, does he feel like a criminal? Like, he's making you sound like a criminal to the average fucking Toronto yuppie fucking clueless person who doesn't know anything about guns or crime or anything really. But, you know, everyone paints the hunter, you know, with this brush.
Well, he's basing that on people that don't have the knowledge. So he's hoping that people don't understand the gun rules. Like, there's tons of rules I have to follow to be a lawful gun owner. As a criminal, there's zero. Like,
True.
it'd be actually, well, I can't buy handgun anymore, but it would be easier for me to go downtown Calgary, buy a handgun, and just walk away. Like, prior to that, you purchase your handgun, you wait for your ATT. It could be a week, it could be a month. You have all that money now sitting in the store waiting for your certificate, right?
Yeah.
And we all know the statistics from legal gun owners, our violence from us is almost non-existent.
That's
And all these firearms in question are coming across the border, undocumented, illegal.
yeah. Well, it's big
So
time. It's probably close
yeah,
to 100%.
it bothers me, and I feel threatened by it because he could take something that I use to feed my family with, right? So that's a huge thing. And you know, they talk about firearms. Well, look at the knife attack that just happened in Australia. Like, you know, and working in a prison, like anything can be used as a weapon. Like if a human wants to kill another human, they'll find a way.
And that's the best, or not the best part, the biggest point is once a human's decided to hurt another human, they're already breaking laws. What's the fucking additional gun charge? They don't give a fuck. It's so dumb, right?
Murder or gun? Yeah, like it's so beyond that. Like the gun charge is just like the cherry on top.
Yeah, that's the one they plead out. They don't even plead guilty to that one. They plead that one
No.
out. It's not even part of the trial. They're like, ah, fuck
Well,
it.
Your Honor, my
Yeah.
client's already doing life. I think we should just get rid of this charge. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then we have stupid rules where, you know, anybody can just buy a crossbow. So, and
So true.
it
And
makes no noise.
those are
Yeah.
fucking powerful.
Oh, you kill a person very easily with a crossbow and it won't make a gunshot noise. Like nobody will even hear it. So, you know, the problem is we have people in power that are uneducated on the subject. So
Think they
until
are?
that
Do you think they're
changes,
just.
no, I don't, because you see, even in America, you see the politicians talking about these firearms and you're just like, what? Like, I remember seeing a video of a woman talking about a AR-15, which is just a semi-automatic rifle or automatic in America. But she's like, oh, it was like moving several boxes that you would move from your house. That's how heavy she said they were.
It's like
And
bazooka or something.
she said like the bullets were like this big. I'm like, no, it's a 223. It's like that big.
Yeah, that's the problem. I truly think that they know exactly what they're fucking saying, but they know that they can get away with it because they're politicians and the leaders get to do whatever they want, carte blanche, right?
Yeah, like in the urban centers, I think you can get away with that talk quite a bit because the average person isn't knowledgeable about it. And, you know, that was me when I was growing up as a kid. I never had a gun, right? I only got a firearms license once I got hired with the service. I said, well, I may as well practice on my own time because they don't give us enough range time on the job. So
That's a good point.
yeah, so I'm like, well, if I'm going to use this and I may have to take life, I better be good with it. So that was just me taking on that responsibility, right? But until you own a firearm or until you actually know the firearm laws, like you'll look at it and be like, yeah, like there's really not much you can change, really.
No. In terms of laws, actually, so you primarily hunt on your own land. I don't know if you know the answer to this. I don't know the answer to this. For me to go into the woods, say on Crown land, or let's just use Crown land because I'm guessing I can't go walking around Crown land with a fucking rifle just in case I get attacked by a bear, can I?
Yeah, you can.
I can.
Yep. If it's Crown land, 100%, you can have a gun on
Okay.
you.
Okay.
If
So
it's a
maybe.
national park or a provincial park, no.
Yes. Okay. That's what in
Yeah.
my head, that's what I said. I did not fucking say that. I said Crown land. But
Yeah.
yeah, so you got to be careful with where you are. So make sure, like, after you've heard us talk about walking around with guns everywhere, it's not where you're going to get yourself in fucking trouble.
No. Yeah, and you know, look at your laws too, right? Each province will have different stipulations. Like I can't go to Banff with my 4570. Like it's not gonna fly. They're gonna call the TAC team on me. But if I go just east of that, I'm now in Crown land and nobody even cares, right?
It's beautiful out there,
Well,
man.
Alberta's a little different with guns. People are a little more accepting of it because
It's amazing.
they understand it's a tool.
Yeah.
Right, like we just had a husband and wife and their dog mauled to death and eaten 30 minutes from our house. That
Come
was
on.
last fall, and they did use bear spray. Didn't work.
Fuck.
The sow was an older sow. I believe she was sick. She killed all three of them, even the dog.
Jeez.
I remember coming home from a midnight shift and seeing RCMP flying down the coal camp. And I'm like, well, oh, that's weird. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. I never see police out here. So I'm like, maybe somebody's house is on fire. I don't know, or something's going on. But yeah, found out that day that a couple were attacked. They were seasoned backpack campers. They believe they're in their 60s and they brought their dog with them and they were attacked in their tent. While they were getting ready for bed, I think they're reading a Kindle or something. That's what they're saying. So they have a Garmin inReach device, which is like a satellite messaging device, and there's an SOS button. I own one of those as well, and that's how they were alerted to the area. So yeah, they were mauled to death, and he didn't have a firearm, right?
Fucked.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the shitty part. If anyone could take anything away from that part of this pod, is if you can take a gun somewhere and you are a lawful gun owner, take your fucking gun there. It's that
Yeah.
simple.
And bring the right caliber, because you don't want to shoot like a 5.56 or a 2.23 at a grizzly bear. That's just going to piss it off, right?
Okay. All right. Okay. Fuck, I didn't know that either. So
Yeah,
what?
you want a fairly large caliber, 30 cal plus, in my
Really?
opinion. Yeah,
So even like a
45
slug?
better.
What about a slug? Would a slug
Yep.
would do anything?
Slugs are good. There's
Okay.
also something called a defender round where they have a slug and then there's double odd buck. I think two, no, three double odd buck behind it. So it's a
Okay.
combo round. Those are good as well. But slugs, 45-70,
Fender.
large caliber. Yeah.
Yeah, holy shit. That's so I totally would have thought of 223. So 223 is more just for hunting deer.
You can hunt deer with a 223. I wouldn't advise it. I would go with a
No?
larger caliber. I would
Okay.
hunt coyotes with a 223, or I'd use it for anti-personnel. But yeah, you like me personally, my hunting rifle is a 30-odd six, and my father-in-law, he reloads for us here, and I usually go with like a 200 or 220 grain. I usually go with a heavier round just to make sure. But that gun now allows me to be versatile. I can shoot anything pretty much up to a moose, right? So in my opinion, it's one gun, one caliber. I change the weights of the bullets, and that's the best way for me. I just find it more universal. A lot of people may disagree with the 30-odd six because it's an older caliber. A lot of guys may prefer like a 308, but that's just my experience. Everything I've shot with my 30-odd six has died almost instantly. So,
Really?
yeah,
Fuck,
I'm
okay.
quite happy with the gun. It's accurate, and most of the time, I'm not shooting anything past 250 yards anyway. Most of my kills are between 75 and 250 yards.
Fuck. Has Sarah fallen in love with shooting guns yet?
I get her out occasionally. She doesn't like the recoil on some of my guns. Like
Yeah.
my 30-odd six, it does kick. It's got a 35-pound recoil. And my new bear gun that I just purchased is between the 38 and 40-pound recoil. It's like shooting a slug. She does like the SKS though. She likes plinking away with that. So yeah, I get her out every once in a while, but she is going to get her hunting license this year, and she's going to come out with me. I'd like to get her into archery as well.
Train with that a lot, like target shooting, whether one or like both.
Yeah, like archery, I train a lot because the ammo is reusable and it's cheap, so I just use my field points over and over and over again. Usually when I'm approaching hunting season, so I'd probably say like another month, probably middle of May, I'll start really hammering arrows down range. I usually shoot between 400 to 500 arrows a week.
Fuck, eh?
Yeah.
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 Do
So
you prefer one over the other? Like, do you enjoy? I'm guessing it's way harder to bow hunt than go out with a
yeah.
rifle.
Archery, I like the challenge 100%, but it's unique in its own way. And this year, I'm actually going to switch it up a little bit. I'm going to get a traditional recurve bow. So, like the old school, not a compound, like you see all the fancy mechanical things now that look futuristic. I have a compound bow, I use that, but I'm going to buy a traditional recurve. So, the month of September, I'm going to use recurve. October, I'll use compound. And then November, I'll use my rifle just to kind of, hone in on different skills, because who knows, maybe I'll have to make a bow one day out of a branch and use some sort of hide as a string, right? You never know. So
Fuck, that's so cool. I like
yeah.
that. Let's transition to that actually. So you've gotten pretty experienced in hunting in the mountains. And then you went on a survival course. I hope that's what it's called, survival course, at some point, like what, a few months ago?
It was a beginning of February, so I did a winter survival course, and it was actually with a gentleman. He's a consultant for that TV show Alone,
Okay. Yep.
and he's quite experienced. He also did a I believe it was a 200-day canoeing trip from Rocky Mountain House, Alberta, to Thunder Bay. He had to do over 200 different portages. So, looking at his qualifications, I'm like, yeah, 100% I'll pay to go learn a couple things with this guy. So we did a full winter camp. We utilized different shelters throughout it for winter use. So I think it was minus 18, minus 20 most of the nights, and we were warm. So it's actually the shelter I like the most is called a super shelter, and you can make it a single, double, triple, or you can even make it as big as six people. And it utilizes twigs, so you look for other, young willows or young poplars. And you basically make your tent frame, and then you get like a breathable nylon or parachute, throw that over. It has to be breathable. And then you put a poly tarp over top of that. And you put your fire about 1.5 paces away, very close. And you'll have a survival blanket. You know those like shiny space blankets you see people wear when they have shock and stuff?
Stuff
Yeah,
you
you
give
know.
guys in jail.
Yeah. So yeah, you use that and you put that behind you. And what that does now is reflect the infrared heat from your fire back down on your body. And it'll start to heat your shelter up, and it'll actually create a greenhouse effect. And you'll see the poly start to bubble out this way. And I just ran a course in April. It was the 5th, 6th, 7th. And the first night, it was like 32 fucking degrees in this thing. It was so hot.
Too hot.
I was starting to panic. I was taking all my shit off. I'm in there basically boxers. I got my winter sleeping bag in the frigging corner. I was like, I don't even need this thing. And then eventually it started to regulate, right? But when you first get that fire going, that's why I recommend maybe getting it going 45 minutes before you get into it, but we were pretty bagged and it was like 8:30 at night, so we just wanted to call her a night. But yeah, it's unbelievable how warm those things will get. I actually had Sarah sleep one night with us out there, so she built up the courage to come out, and I built a double for us, and she said it was probably one of the most comfortable sleeps she's ever had camping.
That's amazing. That's
Yeah.
amazing. So the course you took, you said it was like minus 18. So during the day, you're obviously not in your tent, or you're just like more learning shit, how to survive
Yeah,
off of.
we're building tools, gathering resources, cutting firewood. Like during the day, I'd probably get up to like minus five, minus seven, but the humidity, and we don't get humidity out here, but it was like a fog that rolled in. There was apparently a huge forest fire that happened in BC, and then that smoke pushed and then caused like almost zero visibility fog. So everything had bloody ice crystals on it, and it was challenging, but I was happy we had that because now I know it pretty much survive in pretty shitty conditions with the shelters we were building. But yeah, the firewood collection, that would take majority of your day because you're constantly burning wood and you're cutting it with a bow saw or a hand saw. Like there's no chainsaws, so you're hot. I was in a t-shirt. I think I was wearing this t-shirt outside, like still sweating.
So
So
you're just finding shit that's fallen over, or do you have a saw, like a hand saw?
yeah, we'll bring a bow saw. I have a collapsible little saw that folds up like a pocket knife, more or less. I use that mostly. But yeah, I'm looking for deadfall. I'm looking for good firewood. You don't want to be burning green stuff when you need heat. So we have poplar out here. It's not as popular in Ontario, but our poplar wood pretty much like you'll find it everywhere. They grow like weeds out here. They don't live very long and they dry out very fast. So you like to find trees that have now snapped and fallen onto another tree, so it's up off the ground, it's able to dry, and then you're just chopping those things up into like 2.5, 3 foot lengths for your trench fire. And then your smaller fire, your cooking fire, you're gathering small twigs to get that going so you can boil your water or your snow. So, like, it's weird. People will think that you'll be extremely bored out there and cold, and no, like, it's almost like something natural inside of us just recognizes that primitive lifestyle. And they're like, yeah, I remember this, right? And it's just good, honest work. And by the end of the day, you get into a little shelter. It could be like 8:30, and you're like, yeah, that was a good day. It's dark out now, it's time to go sleep. So
Awesome.
it's kind of weird how your rhythm changes.
Yeah, I love the meals that you guys cook out there. I've never had one, but when I see them on Instagram, I'm like, holy fuck, that all looks so good.
Yeah,
Yeah, that.
that's mostly Sarah. So we started to do a lot of outdoor cooking. I started just doing the steaks, but she's like completely upped it to a new level where now we're baking bread on open fire.
She's
So
making fucking bread.
she made bread, man. It
Yeah.
was pretty cool. Yeah.
In
And
like
we're
a
just
cast iron fucking tray or something, right?
cast iron Dutch oven. Yeah.
Dutch oven. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool, right? So we're learning how to be completely self-sufficient in the woods. Like, I think if I had like my critical items and my knife and my backpack, I think I could live out there for quite a long time.
What are your critical items?
Well, you're gonna want to have a kettle because you're gonna need something to boil the water, especially in the summertime. If you're getting a stagnant water, you have to make sure it's clean, so you're gonna boil the shit out of it. A knife is probably the number one thing you're gonna need in the survival situation. The stuff I could teach you to use with a knife and how to make different tools, like, it's pretty much all you need. And then survival blanket and like a ferro rod, like, those would be the critical items that I would bring, and probably a bow or a gun, right? If I had to live out there. But if you're just trying to survive, like, if it's a survival situation, most people in Canada are rescued within 72 hours. So you don't need food. You can live
Really?
like 30, like you and I would probably like 35, 40 days before we starved.
Really?
Yeah.
It's because we're husky. Because we're men.
Well, it's not even that. Like, even a
No?
skinny person, probably 30 days, no problem.
Really?
Yeah, you need shelter, warmth, and water.
Really? Okay.
After like a day and a half of no water, you'll start to deteriorate rapidly. So
Do you have a
these are.
jump bag that's ready to go, like pre-packed emergency? God, I'm wrecking a jump bag like I'm back at work. Like a bag that's ready to fucking go
Like a go
for
bag.
your go bag. Yeah, fucking go bag.
Yeah, and I'll touch a bit on that. Like, you look at our geopolitical landscape and what could happen. It's possible. A lot of people are making these 72-hour go bags, but it's like, how many of them could even use it? How many of them have even used it to see if it works, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to have those items. Yeah, that's great. You're ahead of the game, but you also want to field test them. You want to find your deficiencies because you don't want to find out when you need
No, you fucking don't.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of people that talk about their go bags and this and that. I'm like, well, have you taken it out? Have you spent tonight?
That's a fucking good point. I don't have a go bag and I don't know how to use one either.
Well, I can help you set that up, buddy. That's no
Fucking
problem.
right. Fucking right. Let's dive into that. 'Cause now you're doing your own courses.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. So I did my first course in April and it went really well. I only had one participant, so a lot of the dates didn't line up with people, but I found it was it was probably better because it was more intimate and I could kind of really see how the course I built panned out. And it worked out great. The guy had never done anything like this before. And by the time he left, he was completely confident that he could go out and do everything that we did. He was lighting fires from absolutely nothing, and he's never done that before. So he was building primitive tools and utilizing it. And one of the best compliments I received from him was after we did a big hike, because I try to show out resources and stuff. The next day, he was looking into the woods and he goes, "Now all I see is resources." I was like, "Perfect." So that's exactly what you want to do. You want to shift your mind, right? Because a lot of us just, "Oh, it's beautiful. It's a forest, right?" But there's so many things in there that you can utilize just to survive. You can even utilize it if you're sick. Like if you have a cold, you can go out and get old man's beard right off the tree and make a tea, and it'll help you get better or boost your immune system.
It
There's
was, sorry.
lots old
What's it
man's
called?
beard. You
Old
ever
man
see that
spirit.
kind of green mossy stuff that just hangs off the branches?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called old man's beard, and it's actually really good for your immune system.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and then spruce tip tea. You can just go get some spruce tips, make a tea out of it. It's like a huge source of vitamin C. So you can start to look and you're like, "You know what? I can use this for that. I can use this for this. I can use that to build a shelter. I can use this piece of wood for a tool." Like we're making tent pegs out of twigs and everything. Like all the tools you build on my course, they're all primitive and they're all by hand using your knife. So that's all you need.
Do you bring what is it called, parachute cord, or do you just make your own cords? Like, what do you do?
So yeah, you can bring paracord. For shelters, I use twine because it's easy to bundle up and put in my bag. But you can also make natural cordage. So you could find some cattails and you just string it out, and then you just basically make French braids and keep attaching it. So you can make natural cordage in the woods as well.
Yeah. That's so cool. When you go out to survive, quote unquote, do you hunker down in one place and make like basically a home in the woods, or is it something where you're moving around a lot, or is it just like in a 72-hour type thing where you need to be rescued, you find a place, hunker down, shelter in place, and live?
Yeah, so if you want to be rescued, you hunker down and you stay in the same place. If you don't
Yeah.
want to be found, you want to keep moving.
Okay. Yeah, I figured that
So,
much, eh?
yeah, so like in my course, I'm mostly teaching people how to survive, just say, because a lot of people backpack camp or hike in the mountains. Well, what if you get lost and now it's dark, right? You're going to want to hunker down, so you're going to have to make a camp, right? So I teach people how to set that up. You can move. We actually had to move our shelters once because we had a huge thaw and the water was coming down. It was like a friggin' river, man. It was brutal and it was pooling right in our fire pit and going right between the shelters. So
I
I
saw that
brought a
picture.
maul. Yeah, you saw
Yeah,
that.
yeah,
So I
yeah.
brought a 8-pound maul and I cut out a trench in the ice. I was like, "Oh, maybe I'll help pass the water." But nobody, the water just kept coming. So we ended up digging our tents out because they were frozen in the ice because we look for like little young poplars about this long and about that diameter. And then we spike them. And then we use a poplar branch about this big or trunk and about that as a baton as your hammer. So we hammer in holes and then we spike off the twigs for a shelter and jam them in there. And then I put ice around it so it freezes. And then I'll take a little bit of my water out of my water bottle and put it there so it freezes in the ice. So we had to break that all free. And then I was actually impressed because I've never picked one of these things up and moved it. Moved like a tent. Just picked it up, moved it to high ground. Dug new holes, secured it into the ground, and we're good to go. So that was the first time we actually had to pick up and move, but it would have been a miserable night. And the guy that I was with, he was slightly lower than me, so all the water would have pooled. It would have been a mess, so we had to move.
Soaked.
Yeah, it took us like an hour and a half to move everything, including our firewood, so it was worth it. But yeah, they are pretty portable, and the twigs you can also stretch back out to their natural form, tie them, and then tie them to your backpack. You can just keep going, set up shop somewhere else, or you can get new twigs.
Nice, nice. Well, it looked like you ate like kings out there for your course.
Yeah, we had ribeye steaks, venison tenderloin. I think it was red peppers and onions and potatoes, and then homemade bread, and then Sarah made banana bread on the fire for dessert. So at the
Wow.
end of the course, I like to do a cookout for everybody. So it's kind of like yay, you accomplish something that you've never done before. So we'll have a little feast, and
That's
yeah.
awesome.
It was fun. We partnered with a local ranch just a little bit south of us, and a coffee company as well. So
That's
we'll
wicked.
be able to provide some different products for them. And I just want to, make a unique experience rather than just like, all right, well, you're going to eat dehydrated packs for 3 days and everybody's going to be miserable. I wanted a bit of a celebration at the end. Yeah.
So I guess the first couple of days when Sarah doesn't bring out all that stuff, is that you're just sort of like surviving and eating what you need until the big party at the end?
Yeah, so like you can bring different non-perishable foods. You can bring like cured meats and stuff. Me personally, I know they're not the best for you because of the high sodium, but they leave no smell. So I prefer the dehydrated packs that are sealed and then kind of keeps the bears away, in my opinion. And it's simple. So all I have to do is boil water. So I bring a kettle. We'll either use the water that I supply from the well at the house, or we'll boil some snow, melt some snow down. The thing is with snow, a lot of people don't realize is a 4-to-1 ratio. So it takes a lot of time to get liquid from your snow. So if you fill up
Really?
your, yeah, you fill up your whole kettle and you don't want to pack it and you want a little bit of water at the bottom, otherwise you'll burn it and your water will taste like shit. But yeah, you'll fill it up. And you'll probably get that much water at the end of it, and then you have to put more snow. So it's a process.
Fuck, I should have paid attention in school. Then maybe that was something I learned. I didn't know that. So after you eat your steak dinner, do you have to like bury it or fucking like something like for the bears? After that one, did you like bring it back, or did you what did you do with that? Like the
Well,
leftovers.
there was nothing left. Because we demolished the shit out of it. Like, I don't think there was a crumb left. And then Sarah just brought some of the dirty cast iron cooking stuff and just brought it back up to the house.
Oh,
And
that's
then
good.
she trekked back into the bush and spent the night with us before we packed up.
That's cool. When's the next
Yeah.
one?
The next one is going to be on June 4th to the 6th. So I slated it for six people. We have four enrollments already, and we only have two spots left. So
Fucking
I
right.
was trying to open it up for the MYM community as well, just in case they wanted to do Sarah's event and then come out and do my course since they're already flying out here. So if we ended up filling it to the six, I might open two more extra spots just to kind of facilitate those people traveling out here, right?
It's fucking awesome. That's awesome, man. Where can people get details on that?
They can go to my website, theprimalhuntingco.ca. And if they hit /BBS, they'll go right to my sales page. They can also go to the link in my bio on Instagram, and that'll send it to the sales page as well. I'm going to be announcing more courses coming up. I'm actually going to make courses geared for families as well. So, a mom and dad can take their two kids or one kid or how many kids out, and maybe they have a 72-hour pack they want to bring. I can teach them how to use it, and it can be like a family team building experience where, each member of the family will be able to identify a role that they're good at, and then everybody can just work together as a team.
That's fucking super cool.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun. I was also thinking about doing like a kids camp thing. Like the kids would have to be with a guardian, of course, because there's fire and knives and axes. But I was
Yeah.
thinking of opening that as well as a team building thing for families. And I'm also going to be launching online membership as well. So I'll have videos on different instructions, different courses, and then I'll probably come online every 2 weeks to answer questions or do a live demo of something. And I've actually also been approached by homeschools. So they want me to create a curriculum and then deliver that to the kids. So I think it's kind of cool, right? Because these are the skills that have been lost, right? I didn't grow up learning these skills. I had to learn them myself. So I think they're invaluable skills. I think everybody should know them and pray that they don't need to use them.
That's such a fucking good way of saying it. You know, like outside of hunting for, you know, for providing, and there's people that hunt, you know, every season, the, you know, living in the bush and surviving in the bush is so fucking different than going hunting with your buddies, drinking beers.
Yeah,
You know.
it's a different vibe.
Yeah, not to say that's not fucking awesome. It's, you know, it's different, and I think it's super fucking cool that you're doing it.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, maybe we should throw that new logo we created on some hats for your course.
There you go. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'd
Fuck
definitely
yeah.
rock that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and anybody that signs up for the next one, we'll send hats out. I think that's fucking, it's gotta happen. I'm on a golf trip right after MYM, so I'll be on the other side of the country.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get you and Jen out here one of these days, so it's
Should
gonna
do it in the
happen.
winter. We'll do it in the
Sure.
winter when it's like
February.
super fucking cold. You know, I think that would be fucking wild.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll really make you think.
Yeah. Well, you'll be comfortable if you dress right, you bring the right things. Like I send a list what you should bring, you'll be fine. You won't be cold.
So cool. Yeah, and it's different when it's minus 30 there, everyone keeps saying, right? It's like you said, there's no humidity.
Yeah, there's not much moisture out here. It's fairly dry.
It's
Like
still
I've
fucking cold though.
broken,
Like minus 40,
yeah.
like you keep hearing these minus 40s and whatever, and that's gotta be still
Minus
fucking
40,
cold.
minus 50 is cold no matter how you shake it.
It doesn't fucking matter.
But yeah, like all the bones I've broken over my life, like they don't hurt out here. And as soon as I go home to Ontario, like the cottage, you can feel like the humidity getting inside like the little cracks, right? So
That's
that's
also
one
communism.
benefit. Well,
That's the fucking
communism in the air.
that's the scent of Olivia Chow from the city of Toronto.
Yeah, that seems to be turning out well.
Yeah.
You
Fuck,
guys
I
have
love
your
it.
keys at the front door?
Oh, fuck. Went off on that on the last pod. Yeah, it what a fucking ins what's insane. It's fucking insane. Yeah, talked about, you know, if you're gonna leave them just inside your front door, you might as well just leave them on your porch. Because then you, if you're going to want to avoid the violent encounter in your house,
Just
which they
leave it
don't
in
want
the
you to,
car.
yeah, just fucking open the door too, right? Kill the, you know, it's so stupid.
Those things would not happen in rural Alberta, I'll tell you that.
No, I feel like I'm meant to be an Albertan. Logistically, we ain't there yet. But when we were there for MYM, like everybody that's from Alberta, they're like, "You're not from Alberta?" I'm like, "I know, you know." Fucking anybody from Ontario, we're like, I know, fuck, it sucks here.
Big dude with a
Fucking.
beard, yeah, you'll fit in just fine. But yeah, that's like the difference when we did move out. So we left, right? We went to the East Coast for 2 years. We didn't like it very much. And then we came back to Alberta because we just had this sense of belonging and sense of home here. And it's really weird. Like, I've never lived in a place where I'm proud to tell people where I'm from. So as soon as somebody asks me, where do you live? Right away, I'm from Alberta. And it's a proud feeling. It's strange, but it's home. That's all I can say.
That's so cool. That's so cool. Yeah, it's different here. Like we love it. Like our kids are here. We have some family here, but we talk about it all the fucking time. You know, whether it's you know a red state or Alberta. It's really that's it. You know, in Canada, there's nowhere to really go outside of Alberta. You know, it's just more our roots are here with kids and shit. But
Yeah, I hear
Super
you.
happy for you guys.
We left with nobody, and we made it work. So
Well, fuck,
it's not
there's
easy.
no, there's people that left MYM, came home, sold their houses, and moved to Alberta, right?
Yeah,
That's fucking
true.
awesome, right?
Yeah,
Yeah,
seeing
but
more of that.
yeah, so yeah, anybody interested in the course? There's only a couple spots left. This will be out in 2 weeks, so you know, maybe they'll be gone. Maybe the other two spots can go to someone. Doesn't matter, but we'll push it and support it. And Non-Negotiable Brand's going to push it. And I can't wait to for people to see the. Gotta talk about that actually. So I was fucking around with the antlers, you know, which I don't even really know what the fuck the antlers are from. And so I sent it to Rob, and Rob fucking and I go back and forth for a few hours one night on Instagram. And I can't wait to fucking show people this thing. It's so cool.
I'm gonna once that launches, buddy, that's the only fucking shit I'm gonna wear. Like, I already only wear your stuff everywhere. So yeah, now you're making something related to hunting, like it's game over. Like, I'm gonna throw everything in my wardrobe away. It'll just be guns and antlers.
So it's how you incorporated it. Let's just do this. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, bro, I think we'd go back in the fucking chat, bro. And that when it when I saw it, I'm like, that's it. That's it. It's fucking
Yeah,
amazing.
it's an amazing logo. You guys are going to do well with that, 100%.
Oh, it's
If
so cool.
not, I'll buy it, I guess.
No, it'll be good. And you know what? I think for all your courses, we should just be fucking sending it for all your people.
No, I appreciate that, Mike. Yeah.
No, I love it. I love how much you guys have supported us. And fucking right, man. I hope tons of people come out to your course whenever you do one in Ontario. That'd be fucking awesome too. I have no idea where you're gonna do it. We'll hide from all the communists and the weirdos.
Yeah, the only hurdle I have, I was talking about doing courses in different provinces, just because it's easier for me to travel there than six people to come out here. It's just land. So if we're able to find land, then I can run the courses. The thing is, you cannot build shelters on Crown land. They will fine you and they'll put you in jail. I've seen it. So
Put you in
yeah.
jail. Armed robbers don't go to jail.
Well,
Well,
the problem is you've created now a home and they want taxes on that. So
just say you're a tenant, you're good. They fucking love tenants that don't pay fucking rent. It's fine.
I'm
Yeah.
squatting in this forest. Yeah.
Well, fuck, if you're listening and you have land and you're part of our fucking team, no communists, no weirdos, no they thems. You got land that Rob can use for his course anywhere in Ontario, fucking rights. Let's go anywhere in the country, actually. But I'm
Yeah.
selfishly, you know, if I can leave for a fucking few days and it's, you know, not gonna fucking put the house upside down, be fucking amazing.
100%. Well, you guys are going to go to one of them. I know that. So next time you come out to Alberta, maybe we'll drag you out into the bush, you and Jen, for a night, maybe two.
Fuck yeah. I love it. I love it. Remind everybody, Rob, where they can find you on Instagram or
So
anywhere.
you can find me on Instagram. It's the Primal Hunting Co. And that's my handle. And in my bio, you'll actually see my website as well. But my website is theprimalhuntingco.ca.
Fucking right, man. I hope everybody enjoyed this one. Rob's a fucking stand-up dude. I'm super proud to have you wear our stuff. Super proud to call you and Sarah are fucking really good friends, man. It's awesome.
Likewise, buddy.
Yeah,
Likewise.
buddy.
Thank you for having me.
No, I love it. We'll do it again too.
Everybody's just so sensitive. It's crazy
Sounds
as we're so
great.
many
All right, buddy.
friendships. Okay, I'm gonna come back later. Why would I care about my haters? All I care about is my friends, my family, and my Lord and Savior. I'm back now on the track now. West Virginia's finally on the map now. I just do my thing. Let my guitar sing. This thing like I never left. My flow is heaven sent. I'm eating jerky. It's venison. I ain't pure X unless I am the excrement. Everybody's in